Thank you, Ken. Take your Bible this evening and go to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. We're going to read a couple of verses out of a text that most of us are very familiar with. Joshua chapter 24 rings a bell, then it's probably because it's Joshua's last account of speech, swan song, whatever you'd like to call it, to the children of Israel. Some of you may not be so familiar with the actual chapter, but when you read the text, it'll really jog your memory. In Joshua chapter number 24, we're going to concentrate this evening on verses 14 and 15. But before we do, let's recap just a little bit of what the entire chapter involves. In chapter 24 and verse 14 and 15, you have the most common text probably of possibly the life of Joshua, but most certainly of chapter number 24, where Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth." And then you drop down to verse number 15, where the Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house," he says, "choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's Joshua chapter 24 is probably most popular verse. But I want to just bring something different, a little bit different, out when it comes to Joshua chapter number 24. We're not going to take the time tonight, but if we would read the entire chapter, we would find that the entire chapter actually sums up much of the life of Israel as a nation. In this one chapter, you have Israel's past, Israel's present, and it's Israel's future, all in just a matter of a few verses. For example, in Joshua chapter number 24, in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto all the people," and then he says, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side." And everything from verse 2 all the way through verse number 13 speaks in the past tense. Verse number 3, "And I took your father." Verse number 4, "And I gave unto Isaac." Verse number 5, "I sent." Verse 6, "And I brought." You drop, verse number 8, "And I brought." And then you look at verse number 10, "But I would not hearken." And then he goes on in the next in verse number 12, "And I sent the hornet." And verse number 13, "And I have given you a land." And you find the first 13 verses being the past of Israel. First 13 verses is the past, the past, the past. This is what has taken place. This is what has been accomplished. This is what we have experienced. This is what we have gone through. It's all a look towards the past. But in chapter 24 and verse number 14, it changes a little bit because verse number 14 begins with the word "now," which is a clear indication of us transitioning from the past to the present time of Israel. Up to that point, it's "I went," "I had," "I did," "I sent." But suddenly, it's "now." And you have the present of Israel. But then if you drop down to verse number 15, it says, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." That's the future. So in 15 verses, you have the past, the present, and the future of the nation of Israel. This is the complete life of Israel summed up in 15 verses. Now, it's the past, it's the present, and it's the future. In the first 13 verses, it's "this is what has taken place." In verse number 15, it's "this is what can and will happen." Verse number 14 is that key pivotal verse, because verse number 14 speaks of the first 13 verses already have been completed. There is a future to come, but the future will be determined by verse number 14, by the present. And so you have the past, the now. It's important to do this immediately, because this now will determine your future. In the first 15 verses, essentially what we have is we have a text that lines up approximately with where you and I are at today. As we end 2007 and we look towards 2008, we actually have before us an opportunity that I enjoy on a yearly basis. Our calendar year gives us the privilege of being able to spend some time to assess and to review what we have accomplished and what we've done and what our accomplishments have been, our disappointments have been, but to assess and review the last year. And to be able to look towards an entire year that is new and to come. 365 pages, absolutely unwritten, clear of any mistake, but yet clear of any accomplishment, and simply said, you will spend the next 365 days of 2008 writing out new and fresh page every single day. But where it starts, the pivotal time between 2007 and 2008 is right now. I want to challenge each one of us this evening to take some time and to line ourselves up with the children of Israel in our Joshua chapter number 24 text. We, each one of us, as we find ourselves in this position, need to understand our past just like they did, 13 verses worth of past. We also need to deal with our past. Now, when I say deal with our past, we can sum that up in one word, basically, learn. One of my favorite verses of the Psalms is Psalm 139:23, where the Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." A constant prayer of mine is that God would search me and would know my heart. God knows me far better than anybody else does or ever have the possibility of knowing me. God knows me. And it's a constant prayer of mine, God, search me. God, know my heart. God, dive into who I am and reveal my faults, my errors, my sins. Reveal to me what I need. Search me, O God. And when I speak of dealing with your past, learning, what I'm speaking of is stopping and saying, God, would you please search me and know me? I want to review what has taken place through the past year. I want to completely and openly expose myself to you and ask you to search me in a way that only you can. And as God begins to search you, you can begin to search yourself. You can review what you have done and what you have accomplished through the past. Remember, your past has already been lived. You cannot change what has taken place in 2007. There is no time capsule that you can jump in, type in a few numbers, and head right back to January 107. It's done. It's gone. It has been lived. You cannot go back and change it. Your past has put you in the exact spot that you are right now. Your past has done that. Your decisions of 2007 have placed you in the direct location, the direct place of life. Everything going on is because of your actions of the past year. You can't change those, though. But what you can do is you can utilize your past to help you learn more and prepare yourself for the future. If you don't learn from your past, then you're destined to repeat the same mistakes. You want to review the past. Review the year 2007. When I think of reviewing, I always think about my time during my high school years. I was very involved in the game of basketball. It was what I enjoyed and what I loved doing. One of the things that I remember the most clearly about basketball in high school was that my coach was a student of the game. I mean, my coach could study the game of basketball and could dissect it into the most minute details like nobody I've ever known. And it sure seemed like every time we had a game and we were preparing ourselves for the 3 or 4 days before the game, he would have our practice squad perform all of the plays, both offensive and defensive, and he would assign our practice squad players to be players from the other team. And he would say, now this is what this player does. He'll come here and he'll go there. He seemed to know everything about the other team and told us exactly what to do when they did their thing. And inevitably, it was just a shock to me and it amazed me. Because I can remember times where they were getting ready to pass in the ball and they'd throw out the name of whatever play their inbounds play was going to be, like Alpha. I'll just throw out any name. Alpha. And as soon as they said Alpha, what was in my mind was that coach told us that Alpha was this. He was going to stand here, 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 here. He was going to go here, here, and there. You just stand here. You don't even have to move. You just stand there. And though for a while it seems like you'll have nobody, he'll end up right in front of you. I do exactly what coach said during practice, and for certain, every single time, it was exactly like he said. I don't even think the teams ever realized that when they called out a play, we knew exactly what their play was and what we were going to do. And this was something that I started to learn. This was something that I started to take on. And I used to go to our coach and I used to say, we're playing so-and-so next week. Could you find me some tape? Because I want to study the individual that I'm going to guard. And I can remember when we were having a state playoff basketball game. And I said, can you be sure to get me tape? Well, of course. You know, what kind of coach is not going to feed his player that type of information? So he does. And I can remember sitting in my room late into the night watching him. I'd watch him dribble down the court. And I would watch him pass. And I'd watch him do everything. I wanted to know everything he did. And I remember when it just hit me. That when he was dribbling the ball towards his players, he would oftentimes spin around to the other way. But when he would spin around, there was just a brief period of time there where the ball was a little bit further out and not protected by his body. And every single time he exposed that ball. And I thought, I'm going to get him on this. And so the game time arrived. The gymnasium was packed. And I was guarding him. And he'd dribble down the court, just me and him. I'd just guard him. It was a big game. And he would spin, and sure enough, every single time it was there. But I didn't want to do it every time because he would learn. I had to wait for the exact moment, the right time. It was getting down towards the end of the game, and I knew what he was doing. And we needed a basket, and we needed a basket bad. It was one of those times where we needed something big to happen. And he was dribbling down the court, and it was just me and him in open court. Nothing was going on. I was just dribbling. He was just dribbling. I was just guarding him. But it was a time that we needed something big. And sure enough, he came at me. I set him up exactly so he would do what he did every time. When I came this way, he tried to go that way. When he tried to go that way and the ball was out there that split second, I hit it. I went out. I got an open layup. And it was one of those game-changing plays that happened in just a quick period of time, but only came because I spent hours and hours and hours watching his every single move. And it paid off because when we needed the big play was there because of the studying and the reviewing that I had done. When you approach 2008, you're going to face situations. You're going to face trials. You're going to face difficulties and temptations. And what is going to prepare you for those things is a review, a study of yourself. And what you have done, and how you reacted to temptation, and what were the places that provided this temptation for you. If you study yourself and how you lived in 2007, you could come up with your own game plan, so to speak, of how to better prepare yourself for 2008. So review your past, deal with it, and that means learn from it. You can divide up 2007 into categories. For example, you can deal with, first of all, relationships. Relationships, people relationships are something that every one of us has to deal with. Whether it be a husband to a wife, or a brother to a sister, or a brother to a brother, a mom to a dad, a grandmother, whatever it is, just friendship, whatever it is, every one of us has relationships that we have to deal with. Have you ever thought, about reviewing your relationships of 2007? Because it's possible that there's somebody who you just had confrontation after confrontation after confrontation with, and it seemed unending. It was something that was going to take place, and there was nothing you could do about it. Now, wait a minute. Stop. Put on the brakes there. Are you sure that there's nothing that you could do about it? If you stopped and reviewed your relationships of 2007, I am certain that you would find that there are areas and things that you could correct yourself and better improve and prepare yourself for what's to come. That will happen if you will study and review the past year. Review yourself. Oftentimes the statement is weighed, well, it's just their fault. It's just the way they are. I just can't deal with them. It's all them. Well, yes, there probably is a lot of truth in the fact that there's going to be a lot of them. That's the problem. But let me be honest with you. You changing a little bit of something about yourself can oftentimes change another person's response to you. So how about reviewing your relationships of 2007? Husbands and wives, if this was a difficult year for you and there seemed to be a lot of confrontation in the home, why don't you review your relationship? Find out what and try to draw up what most of the confrontation was involving. Was it finances? Was it rearing the children? Was it where things are placed in the home? Or, fella, you're just too sloppy. You know, find out what it was that created all of this conflict, and then do your best as individuals to better prepare yourself for the coming year by fixing the things that need to be fixed. Just review your relationships. And then your health. Your health. You know that oftentimes there are a lot of things, that a lot of health issues that we bring upon ourselves. And a lot of times some of the health issues that we bring upon ourselves are simply due to the fact that either we are just so self-indulgent that we oftentimes don't know how to deny ourselves when it comes to eating and snacking and deserting. Let me get off that. It's Christmas time, right? Let me get off that because I've been bad for the last 3 or 4 weeks. But isn't that so? Oftentimes we experience sluggishness. We experience fatigue. We experience a constant tiredness. Sometimes we don't have the ability to function and the energy that we want. And it's not because God doesn't give me the power to do it. It's because you're eating the wrong foods and you're acting the wrong ways and you're going to the wrong places. And it's because you're drinking the wrong kinds of drinks and you're not exercising and you're basically pouring sludge into your body and then expecting yourself to do something great for God. Well, wait a minute. Why, if you had the kind of year where you felt just sluggish and you felt like you just weren't moving and there was no energy, or you just felt like you were down physically most of the year, then why don't you stop and review some of your health habits of the past year? Are there certain foods that you were constantly dining on that were the kind of foods that were slowing you down and hurting your body? Are there certain kind of foods that were throwing off your blood pressure or throwing off your blood sugar? There are certain things that you're drinking that are causing you to hurt your own body. Stop. Review the past year. Review what you did health-wise and learn how to prepare a game plan to fix it in the coming year. And then what about your job performance? Oftentimes, it seems like pastors hear people complaining about the job situation. Well, at work, it's just like this. Or at work, it's just like that. Or so-and-so is this. Or so-and-so is that. And oftentimes, everybody else is unfair. Most of the time, that's what I hear. Why don't you stop and review your job performance from this past year? Were you as effective and as efficient for your employer as you possibly could be? Well, so-and-so got the raise and was promoted and not me. Or I heard so-and-so is getting a bigger raise in 2008 than I am. And a lot of times that creates a little bitterness, a little jealousy, a little frustration and anger. Why don't you evaluate what you did as an employee in 2007 and look for areas that you can better yourself towards your employer for the coming year? You realize that small things, if you'll find small things to better yourself, those small things is what's going to draw the attention of your employer and of those that work around you. And that's what's going to get you to begin to work towards what you need to become as an employee. It's the small things. Review yourself in that way. And then let's take this down the spiritual road and talk about faithfulness. Spiritual faithfulness to your devotions. Review that for 2007. Maybe the reason why we didn't experience the victory and the spiritual highs that we wanted to was because we weren't consistent with our devotions. If we are not consistent with reading the Bible every single day, then can we honestly expect to be a spiritual individual and being? If we are not consistent with prayer, time for prayer every single day, then can we honestly expect to be as close to our Savior as what He wants us to be? Devotions, that time where you set aside every single day to pray, to read your Bible, to draw close to your Savior. Maybe that was what affected you in 2007. Review that. How consistent were you? How faithful were you? I have oftentimes heard somebody say that, or I've heard somebody say in the past, and I've oftentimes retold this story, that they like to keep a big jar right next to their bed, and they have black marbles and white marbles. What about if you did that, and every time that you felt like you walked with the Lord and you were devoted to Him and close to Him, you threw a white marble in that jar? And if you went an entire day and never thought much about God, never read your Bible, you never prayed, you never had that time of drawing close to Him, you throw a black marble in there. I wonder, at the end of 2007, whether yours would be more black or more white. That's a fantastic way to review yourself. Review yourself. Were you truly devoted in your time of prayer and Bible reading to God? What about your faithfulness in the area of soul winning? You know that it's God's complete intention that every single Christian be a soul winner. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a bus worker, an Awana worker, or whether you're to the place where you can't get as active and involved in these physical ministries, so you concentrate on prayer, or providing meals, or you call folks up on the telephone. Whatever it is, no matter how old you are or how young you are, God's plan is for every Christian in this room to be an evangelist, a soul winner, as an individual that goes out and shares the gospel with somebody else. That's God's plan for you. And if you are not leading people to Christ, then you are not completely surrendering yourself to what God wants you to be. So if at the end of 2007, you think back from January till today, and you haven't really led anybody to Christ this year, then Christian, you haven't really done what Christ has asked you to do. You haven't really... Now, if you're witnessing and they're not getting saved, I understand that. But if it's just a matter of you not being concerned enough to share the gospel with people, then let me encourage you, review that in your life and determine why it is that you're not witnessing the way you should be. And I'm not necessarily even talking about those ready-made opportunities that we oftentimes have. As a pastor, a lot of times, I have what I call ready-made opportunities. I'm having a hard time in life right now. Can you come and can you pray with me? And I'll go talk to somebody in their home and they'll be led to the Lord. Or somebody will come forward during an invitation. I'll have an opportunity to lead them to the Lord. Or a young boy or a young child will come and I'll lead them to the Lord. Or a teenager or what have you. These are the ready-made opportunities. Those are good and I'm thankful for them. But I want the opportunities that find me being faithful by going out and getting the gospel message out. I'm talking about me coming in contact with my banker, me coming in contact with the person at the grocery store, me coming in contact with a family member or with just a friend or some other relationship. What about you? Have you been faithful in the area of soul winning? Are you really trying to spread the gospel message? If not, then review why it is that you're not. And then what about your finances? You know, finances are a big deal in people's lives. There may be people here tonight that 2007 was a year of real financial strain to you. You felt like you were tight. You felt like there wasn't much you could accomplish. You were living under this constant burden of personal finances. Then do a little review of the last year and determine why it is that you were under such a financial burden. It is very well possible that the finances that you needed were there. They were just being appropriated or used in the wrong ways. One of the things that I have faced in trying to counsel people in financial matters as people come in, and I try to get them on a budget and try to tell them this is what you have and this is all you have to work with. This is your means. Stay within your means. You cannot go out and eat three nights a week. Now, you cannot go and do this. You cannot go and do that. It's not a matter of the Bible says don't. It's a matter of you can't because you don't have it. But they do. And then they come to us and they're needing something because they weren't able to stick with what they were doing. Review your finances for the last year. Keep track of them. There are computer programs, and if you're not of the computer age,
then there are nice big notebooks where you can write down budget items, whether it be dining out, education, whether it be what you spent on groceries, all of the different areas, and review what you did this past year, because it's very well possible that your finances experienced a great strain upon them because of a lack of discipline that you should have been exercising. Review that and review your area of service for the Lord. That's what Joshua chapter 24, the first 13 verses, is about. What did you do? What have you done? This is what has taken place. This is what we have experienced. But when we get down to verse number 14, the Bible says, Now we're in the present. We've reviewed the past. We've learned from the past. But the past has been lived. We can't change it. So we don't want to allow the past to hold us back from our future. The now is going to be key. You know that many people in the Bible knew of the great significance of now, choosing now, making choices now, changing your life right now. For example, Joshua, why would he have stood before the children of Israel and said, "This is what has happened. This is what can happen. Choose you now. Make the choice." Why would Joshua have said that? Because he knew that making the choice of what you're going to do in your future right now is very, very important. What about Moses? Moses was a man who lived a life of constant pressure and stress, turmoil and trial, wasn't he? Can you imagine leading a million people and trying to lead them through a wilderness and all the griping and the complaining and the turn back? Stop this! Why'd you do that? God doesn't care. Moses, the kind of fella who he really needed to prepare himself for his future. And I think that preparation, for the most part, took place right there at that burning bush where Moses took off his feet, because he was standing on holy ground, and Moses surrendered himself to what God was going to do with him. That was the moment that he made the present choice that no matter what, his future would be lived in the plan and in the will of God. You know that young Daniel, in Daniel chapter number 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. I think that was Daniel's present choice. That was a time where Daniel said, "This is what I'm going to choose in the now." And he sure needed it. You know what his future held for him, don't you? Well, of course, Daniel said, "I refuse to eat or drink from the table." You remember that, from the king's table? You remember that? You remember when Daniel was told not to pray, what did he do? He prayed. And he was cast into the lion's den. Wow! You're talking about an individual who had a future that was going to be difficult. Well, it sure was. How could you get through such a time? You make the choice in the present now. And that choice is going to be key. You know, Paul was another individual who went through all kinds of trouble, who went through all kinds of turmoil. He went through all kinds of difficulty. How could an individual live in such circumstances? How could they survive and live for God under such a constant pressure? I think that's one of the things that Paul went when he was gone for that 3-year period of time approximately, when he was gone into the Arabian desert. I think that's one of the things that the Apostle Paul got from Jesus Christ, was he determined that no matter what, he was going to be faithful. That was what you call his choice in the now, his choice in the present. And when it got difficult in the future, it's all right, because I made the choice in the present now. And that was what affected his future. You know, the most difficult thing about making a choice, you realize there is something you need to change, because this past year wasn't quite what it should have been. And there are some things you're going to need to change for the next year. But the most difficult thing about making the choice, for some of us, we make the choice and all, New Year's resolution. Oh, yeah, I'll make a New Year's resolution. I got a list of about 57 of them. Yeah, I'll make it. And then a couple of days later, now where's that list? You know, I can't find that anymore. I'm not talking about something where you just make the choice and, oh, yeah, that's it. It's flippant and I forgot about it 2 days later. I'm talking about a commitment. the most difficult thing, that the reason that people are not willing to make that commitment is because they know what it is going to bring in the future. And that's a little bit of struggle and a little bit of battle. It is. There's something in the past that wasn't right. It needs to be corrected. I know it does. If not, my future will be just like my past. And it can't be that way. I need to change it. How do I change it? Make the decision right now. But the most difficult thing about the decision is if I commit myself to it, I'm committing myself to a battle and a struggle to improve. That's exactly what Christ has planned. Constant improvement, sanctification, continually growing in Jesus Christ. Some people just say, I can't change. I just can't do it. This is just the way I am. And I've been like this for years. And I haven't done this or haven't done that. This is just the way I am. I heard a story. The person is in the room, and I'm not going to use names, but I heard the story of a young boy just about that toddler age. I'm talking very young. We're just starting to talk and to communicate. And this young individual who is now moving through the toddler years into the toddler years, this individual was still using a pacifier. And that was something that the parents were constantly trying to work towards. Don't use the pacifier. No, don't use that. You know, I mean, it's fine when you're a baby, but when you're 10, 11 years old and you're still walking around with a pacifier, that's a little much, you know. And so it's something they're trying to do right now while he's a toddler, which I applaud. I think that's great. Well, one of the things that they decided they were going to do in the last couple of weeks is just explain to the child, look, if you want to be a big boy and you want to be the kind of big boy that goes to Chuck E. Cheese, or you want to be the kind of big boy who eats whatever, you want to be a big boy, you can't use that pacifier anymore. Now, you're all thinking this is Petey. This is not. Okay, this is not Petey. You know, you can't use that pacifier anymore. You've just got to get rid of that thing. And so it came time where the pacifier was going to be necessary. You know what the young toddler said? I don't need the pacifier. I'm a big boy. And from the time that I had talked, a few days later, after the little toddler just making the decision, toddler hadn't even used the pacifier, was just able to give it up like that. Why? Because the child realized that this is not what I want, so I will just change. You know, that's a real simple illustration, but it's true for every single one of us. If we want to change, then we will. We will. If there was something in 2007 that held you down, lack of devotions, lack of soul winning, lack of service, lack of discipline in your personal finances, lack of friendliness in your personal relationships, lack of forgiveness, lack of understanding, whatever it is, if there was anything that held you back in 2007, no matter what it is, it can be changed, and it can be changed now. There is not a person in here that would say, well, I can't change now. Again, unless we're talking about a health problem or something that's dealt with medically, as far as a change of something that's held you back that you were doing, you can make the decision now to change, if you want. The thing is, the decision now will create a future struggle, and you know it will, but don't let it stop you. Because in verse number 15, Joshua says to the children of Israel, when you leave, when you all disassemble from this assembly, and you all head your separate ways, this is what God can do. Will ye serve Him in your future? Once you've made your choice, once you've made your decision, then follow through on it. Carry it through the following year. Make the choice that you commit yourself to so serious that it's a high priority in your life, a highest priority. If you had constant conflict in personal relationships and you review yourself and find out that it's because most of the time you were too busy to really talk to people and people felt you as coming across as unfriendly, so you needed to spend more personal attention with somebody, maybe that's what's hurting your personal relationships. If that's the case, then commit yourself to changing that. And then when you commit yourself to that, make that a priority. Make it a priority, the commitment, the choice. Be committed to your choice. It's going to take commitment. You have to be committed to it. Be prepared, because you'll come across situations and times they're going to try to throw you off and to get you discouraged about what you want to do in the coming year. Let's say you want to be a better soul winner. And let's say that's your goal. Lord, help me to be a better soul winner. And that's what you want to be. You want to witness more for Christ. And then in the coming year, you talk to a couple of people, and everybody seems to turn you down and not be interested. Can I tell you something? Be prepared. Be prepared for that. Let's say that you want to be more disciplined in your finances. And you're cutting, you're dining out, you're creating a budget, and you're not going over that. Dining out will only be this amount per week. That's it. Nothing more. And it just so happens that the first week of the year, three or four people ask you to go out that week. And of course, you're going to have to pay for your own bill. And next thing you know, you've already gone over. Be prepared for situations like that. Can I tell you that? Be prepared. Be prepared. Be committed. But then be prepared. And then lastly, I'd say be faithful. Be faithful to what it is that you want to do. Be faithful. Here it is. And this is the conclusion of the matter. When Daniel, when Moses, when Paul, and when the children of Israel all faced the difficulties that they faced in their futures, it wasn't as difficult, I think, as what it may appear to be to us. When they were faced with a moment of temptation that seemed so serious, how could they not give in? How could they not surrender to the temptation? How could they not? I'm going to say that they couldn't and that they wouldn't because of that time, that present that they had where they surrendered themselves to God and said, Lord, this is what I want to do. And then when they were faced with the moment of temptation, they didn't have to make the choice on the spot because they said, back when, I made this choice already. Let's put it into practical terms. One of the places that we have as a church set, and this has been long standing, is an old-fashioned altar. Altar is the place where decisions are made, isn't it? Choices. The altar tonight could be your present now. The altar tonight could be what you need to overcome and what you need to correct now. Because there may be things that you don't even have to review 2007. You just know. Well, here's what you do. Here's what we do as a church. Is we come down to an altar and we make this altar our now. Daniel purposed in his heart. Moses at the burning bush. Paul in the Arabian desert. Joshua saying, choose now. This is our now. We get down at our now and we say, Lord, I've been unfaithful in my devotions. Lord, I haven't been a soul winner. Lord, I haven't been disciplined in my finances. Whatever it might be. And we make the decision right here. A committed decision. Not a flippant decision. A committed decision. And when we make that committed decision and we get up off our knees, our commitment is there. And we must stay faithful to it. And so when the time comes where you're faced with going against what you committed yourself to doing, don't forget that you made the choice tonight. It doesn't matter if 10 months down the road you're faced with going against what you committed yourself to doing. Remember, tonight you made the choice. And you don't go back on that choice. You don't go back on that commitment. You don't turn back and move that or change that or alter in any way. You stick with it. And your now will help change your future. And that's what we're looking for as we enter into 2008. Review your past. Choose now. And allow your now choice to be what guides you through the next year. Stay faithful and committed to it. Father, we thank you so much for the story and the scripture that we are told of. We pray, Lord, that you would help us now as we think and consider these things. We're going to do something a little bit different than we normally would on a Wednesday night. We have about 3 minutes until 8, so we're still within 1 hour service. I just want to take a couple of minutes and give you the opportunity. Peggy, could you just play something on the piano? It doesn't have to be an invitation hymn. It can be anything. Maybe there's something in your life that you know you need to change, and you know it now. You just know. You don't have to review the past because you've been struggling with it already. Let's take those things and use that as our first step towards improving in the coming year. And let's make this altar our now. I'll join you there, because I know there are things in my life that I struggled with in 2007. I really did. And I need to correct them, to fix them. I need the power of God to overcome them. Then let's do those things now.